Overview. But as the original teachings became institutionalized under secular control, charlatan priests and clergy, see the example of Paul of Samosata, peddled dogmatic shortcuts that they said eliminated the need to strive and fulfill the original spiritual objectives of the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness, with a greater number of dogmatic dispensations being invented in order to circumvent the process of higher development, to the degree where the focus of the church became instant salvation for the purpose of acquiring mammon and the political power of the secular priests and clergy. And when the remaining spiritual core objected, they were condemned as heretics, hunted down, and murdered. Overview. Condition of mind. As is documented at this link, see Mystery of the Gospel. Paul warned that if the congregation of faith-based believers were exposed to the esoteric teachings on the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom, they would immediately reject these concepts and teachings as utter foolishness. Which means that the biblical authors were confronted by two great looming which they had to overcome, that is, while it remained impossible to convey to baptized and committed Christians the spiritual meaning of the gospel account of Jesus, they had to write the scriptures in such a way that important essential knowledge became available to them. As the Christians began to evolve through the stages of mental and spiritual immaturity into a seeker/disciple that had evolved to the point where they could begin to grasp these higher esoteric realities of mind, being, and the mysteries of the kingdom, the faith-based believers whose minds were limited by the organic physical consciousness could only be given what Paul portrayed as the milk of the gospel, which was the testimony of Christ and Him crucified, that is, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. 1 Cor 3:1-3 in KJ. To the absolute demise of the faith-based believer, not only did the Church of Rome totally reject the necessity of developing the mind of the believer, but the whole foundational objective of the gospel was condemned as heresy. Overview. From an original gospel perspective, as the faith-based believers began to spiritually mature, they needed an important body of concealed esoteric knowledge to advance beyond the elementary stages. Therefore, for the good of the faith-based congregations, the gospel had to be presented to them in such a manner that they could only understand in accord with their own very elementary level of comprehension. Their minds had to undergo the process of spiritual expansion and development, which development enabled them to begin to comprehend the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom. And the more they began to progress in the way, the greater vision and understanding they would then be able to eventually possess. And thus, Jesus taught in parables, so that those few who possessed the capacity to understand would receive the instruction that the multitudes were incapable of comprehending. And if we ask why, in the parable of the sower and the seed, what is portrayed above as the necessary condition of mind is taken one step further, as in the rungs of the proverbial Jacob's ladder. In the parable, the sower and the seed, those who bring forth what is portrayed as 60-fold can perceive and understand a higher perception and understanding of what Paul calls the mysteries of the kingdom than those who have brought forth 30-fold, and ultimately the ones who have brought forth what is portrayed as 100-fold. Can perceive and understand what the rest of mankind who dwells in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being remains totally blind to. Overview. In the Gospel of Thomas, it is warned. Jesus said, "Recognize what is in your sight, and that which is hidden from you will become plain to you. For there is nothing hidden which will not become manifest." And the inconceivable reality that few people comprehend is the fact that everything that is, everything lies before all of mankind, and it is only his own blindness portrayed in the condition of mind that Jesus called the outer darkness of mind and being, that inhibits him from seeing A and D, knowing ALL things. Yan, the only way to teach and bring about a condition of anointed enlightenment to the individual is to evolve and mature the person's condition of mind, which is the primary purpose of the parable of the sower and the seed, which warns those who have not overcome the limits of their human carnal nature and have failed to bring about the process of expansion of mind and being by becoming the good ground. These people cannot even begin to understand anything of any true sustenance and spiritual value. Thus, the warning of Jesus to those who ignore what the parable of the sower and the seed states: "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Mark 4:13 KJV. Or, in the wording of the Modern Language New Living Translation: "But if you can't understand this story, how will you understand all the others I am going to tell?" That the vast majority of believers, as well as the gospel critics, all fail to understand the true spiritual meaning of the Bible is because they ignore what this parable states to them. Overview. When Paul makes reference to the inability of the faith-based believers to understand the true spiritual nature and mystery of the gospel, we must pose the question: what is the meaning of the word mystery? Thayer's lexicon states that it is a hidden thing, secret, mystery, confided only to the initiated and not to ordinary mortals. A hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding of God. The secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from ungodly and wicked men. In rabbinic writings, it denotes the mystic or hidden sense of an Old Testament saying. Therefore, what Paul is stating is that spiritual knowledge, gnosis, belongs only to those who are themselves spiritual. Why? Not because anyone desires to conceal this esoteric knowledge, but rather, the organic facilities of mind associated with the limitations of the physical body are simply incapable of perceiving man's own higher reality of soul and spirit. From an organic human perspective, it is not a matter of a more clarified explanation, but rather, there is no such thing as any explanation to convey to organic man what is incomprehensible to his very limited mind and being. From the perspective of the allegory of the Tower of Babel, the structure that permits the earth to reach into the expanse of the heavens cannot be built with earth matter, but must be built upon the transformation of the physical body and consciousness, as stated by Paul. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Col 3:5 NIV. Overview. When Jesus said of his disciples, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding." Mark 4:11-12 NIV. That word translated secret is the same word translated mystery, and makes reference to an esoteric knowledge that is beyond man's organic comprehension. Yet, in a state of spiritual denial, the modern church attempts to ignore the implications of what these words convey. In explanation of the above words of Jesus, the Wycliffe commentary writes that the initiate was instructed in the esoteric teaching, which was not revealed to outsiders. The mystery of the kingdom in its ultimate development is the full-orbed message of the gospel. Rom 16:25-26. The purpose of parables was to instruct the initiates without revealing the items of instruction to the ones who were without. This is in keeping with the biblical principle that spiritual understanding is restricted to those who have become spiritual. Overview. If, as openly stated above, it is true that Jesus taught initiates differently than the multitude of people who he portrayed as being outside, then a true seeker must conclude that every article of faith promoted by the church today would have to be totally reevaluated. Thus the question: what was Jesus stating with respect to why he spoke in parables? To ignore this question is to reject the whole foundational objective and revelation of the Bible. Jesus was stating that only those who become separate from the thinking and ways of this world and became true disciples of Messiah/Christ are able to perceive and understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, and in the Greek language. This sacred knowledge is called gnosis, and by the very meaning of the word that is being presented that cannot be revealed to ordinary mortals, a hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding. It is of the utmost importance to recognize that what is being conveyed is the fact that spiritual understanding is restricted to those who have become spiritual. Why? Because man in his organic or natural condition of mind has yet to develop the facilities of mind necessary to receive and comprehend this higher spiritual knowledge that the biblical authors are making reference to. And this fact of human life that everyone must eventually come to terms with is demonstrated in the Gospel of Thomas in the saying, Jesus said, I shall give you what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no hand has touched, and what has never occurred to the human mind. It is not that either Jesus or the disciples wanted to hide or conceal higher spiritual facts and realities from anyone, but rather, the organic human mind, which is limited by the consciousness and vibratory spectrum of thought of the physical body, simply is incapable of comprehending any thoughts, impressions, and realities beyond what the organic human body/mind will accommodate, without evolving through the process of transformation that was and remains the primary objective of the gospel message and teachings. Jesus came to lead the lost prodigal sons and daughters into the kingdom, but for the inner narrow straight gate to open, the body and physical mind must become what is allegorically portrayed as the final temple. Overview. In analyzing what the Thayer's lexicon is stating above, because the people are not yet initiates into the knowledge that is beyond the understanding of ordinary mortals, secret knowledge that is not obvious to the understanding, knowledge that is impossible to be revealed in the written text of the scriptures, knowledge that Paul, as an ambassador in bonds, cannot speak openly about to the congregation of believers, who he himself taught. Paul portrays the congregation of believers as babes in Christ. Again, to the Colossians, Paul asks for their prayers that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. See Col 5:3-4. Thus, these mysteries of the gospel that Paul portrays as beyond the comprehension of believers of a natural mind, because these believers of the gospel will look upon and reject esoteric spiritual concepts as utter foolishness, 1 Cor 2:14, cannot be revealed in man's spoken or written words, but only when God opens a door of utterance to reveal the mystery of Christ, a knowledge that cannot be revealed to ordinary mortals, a hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding, including the mystic or hidden sense of a biblical story. And while God wants all the lost prodigal sons and daughters to receive the sacred knowledge, which in the Thayer's lexicon it states is not obvious to the understanding of ordinary mortals, because the human earthly nature must be evolved, this sacred knowledge can only be perceived and comprehended by those who have prepared themselves to receive it. Overview. Contrary to what we choose to believe in our present time, what this parable tells us is that in the same way that we cannot plant seedlings from a fine vineyard in the desert among thorn bushes or on rocky ground or in a culturally polluted and toxic swamp, neither can we plant the Word of God in any cultural or doctrinal mindset and lifestyle. How do we know this? Because Jesus said that if we try, then we will be ignoring the very first principles of the gospel, and regardless of what we profess with our lips, we will remain spiritually unfruitful. And that men of an organic mindset attempt to understand what their very minds are incapable of perceiving and comprehending is why Jesus spoke only to the multitudes in parables, and why he explained to his disciples when asked, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Mark 4:11-12 in IV. And this inability for the believers of the simple faith to comprehend the mysteries of God was confirmed by Paul, who wrote, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ." 1 Cor 3:1. Thus, these believers could only be taught the doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Cor 2:2. Because they were not yet spiritual men, but rather, they were men of flesh and still very much babes in Christ. Paul then explains that, "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able." 1 Cor 3:2. Overview. In the house taught in parables the inner kingdom and the key of knowledge. In not understanding the use of parables in the Gospels and how the parables are allegorical learning models that holographically exist within the allegorical scriptures themselves, and without understanding the one source of true interpretation for both the parables and the Gospel accounts, that it will be impossible to comprehend the meaning of the scriptures with any true depth of understanding. And when the scriptures are properly understood, their very purpose is to assist the seeker/disciple in finding the one source of true interpretation, because all other interpretations is nothing more than man-made worthless church dogma that is promoted by misguided believers and unbelievers. Why? Because the opening of the Gospel of Thomas is as relevant to that scripture as it is all scriptures. That is, these are the secret sayings which the living Jesus, and He said, "Whoever finds the interpretation of these sayings will not experience death. Let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished, and he will rule over the all." Jesus said, "If those who lead you say to you, 'See, the kingdom is in the sky,' then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, 'It is in the sea,' then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourselves, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty." Once the scriptures are properly understood, they are very much the key of knowledge that, if properly turned within and used to open the inner narrow straight gate, they will enable the seeker to learn directly from the one true teacher and bestow upon such a sincere disciple the life that the Gospels promise to the faithful believer. And even those who claim to believe and yet fail to fulfill the spiritual objective of the Gospels within themselves are those who walk upon the broad way of self-destruction. That is, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. Overview. And when Jesus was asked directly when the kingdom of God would come upon the earth as Jews and Christians believe, Jesus said it would never come upon the earth, because it is within us all. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Luke 17:20-21 NKJ. That modern Christians walk the broad way of self-destruction is because long ago the church threw away the key of knowledge in the manner of the carnal Jews, and thus, what was said of the Jews then is true of the Christians today. How terrible it will be for you experts in religious law, for you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Luke 11:52. Overview. In what is known as the Gospel of the Nazarenes, there is what is called the seven parables of the kingdom, wherein it is written, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a city built four square on the top of a high hill, and established on a rock. and strong in its surrounding wall, and its towers, and its gates, which lie to the north, and to the south, and to the east, and to the west. Such a city does not fall, neither can it to be hidden. Its gates are open to all, who, having the keys, will enter therein. The keys to the gates are the proper use of the scriptures whereby the seeker of the kingdom turns the scriptures within themselves to use as the key of knowledge to gain entrance to the kingdom. When the kingdom is properly understood as a higher spiritual reality that must be entered while still physically alive in the body vessel, the true meaning of the book of Revelations begins to unfold as the spiritualization and purification of the body into the final temple. The Bible continually warns us that the path or the second birth and entrance into the kingdom is not easy. See the transformation. The strife of the inner war within ourselves as embodied in the symbols of Armageddon is seen in the words, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Acts 14:22 NKJ. Thus, in the same way that a woman travails in labor to bring a child into this world, we must ourselves endure the many tribulations of spiritual labor to be born into the kingdom of God. Since the kingdom is within us, and Armageddon is therefore not an historical event, but more factually, a spiritual event in the life of the disciple in search of truth, we must then totally reevaluate everything we think we know about both the gospel message and the life we are presently living. In fully comprehending these biblical statements in relation to the whole purpose of the teachings of the way, let us again examine the definitive statement which conveys to us the very essence of the gospel, and especially the revelation of John. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Rev 22:14-15 NKJ. Overview. If the text of the Revelation represented the end of the world, as is commonly believed by the majority of Christians today, then we must pose the question, why are those who remain outside the city portrayed as dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie? Armageddon, then, indicates the disciple's personal tribulation described as the pangs of birth, as he endeavors to overcome his own lower carnal nature through the crucifixion of what is symbolized by the flesh, in order that he can possess the knowledge of the fruit of the tree of life, transcend the natural barriers of this world, and enter through the gates into the city. Overview. The teachers of the law and Pharisees were portrayed as hypocrites who do not themselves enter the kingdom, while as counterfeit shepherds they inhibit those who are trying to enter, because they interpreted the scriptures outwardly in ritual, tradition, and the dogmatic interpretations of carnal men as is done by the Christians today. Yet, because the foundational paradigm of mind and being is built upon the second rarely acknowledged reality above, Jesus warned his followers not to be called rabbi or teacher, because there is only one teacher which they must seek out to learn from. See the one teacher. And as stated by the Apostle Peter, if you seek truth then, you have to learn them from him alone, because he alone knows the truth. To the degree that Peter warns that the true meaning of the scriptures are beyond the comprehension of human wisdom and understanding that is. Therefore, great care is to be taken, that when the law of God is read, it be not read according to the understanding of our own mind. For there are many sayings in the divine scriptures which can be drawn to that sense which everyone has preconceived for himself. And this ought not to be done. For you ought not to seek a foreign and extraneous sense, which you have brought from without. Overview. Yet, in a total rejection of this core gospel teaching, Christians not only seek to learn from the people of this world, that is, for you ought not to seek a foreign and extraneous sense, which you have brought from without, and again in total rejection of core gospel teachings, the doctrines and interpretations of the scriptures are drawn totally from the very limited perspective of human organic reasoning, that is. Therefore, great care is to be taken, that when the law of God is read, it be not read according to the understanding of our own mind. Why? Because human reasoning is totally earthbound and incapable of understanding even the true reality of what is seen in the earth, that is, based upon the basic principles of this world. In 2 Peter 1:20, the apostle condemns and rejects what he portrays as private interpretations of the scriptures, that is, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. The objective was to have no divisions within the congregations, that is, I appeal to you, that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. 1 Cor 1:10 NIV. And someone who even suggests a man-made opinion or doctrine should be rejected as a heretic who has been turned out of the way, that is, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Titus 3:10-11 NIV. The Greek meaning of the word divisive is one who promotes a sect, that is, a doctrine of belief. And on this important point, the church father Tertullian writes, on this point, however, we dwell no longer, since it is the same Paul who, in his epistle to the Galatians, counts heresies among the sins of the flesh, who also intimates to Titus that a man who is a heretic must be rejected after the first admonition, on the ground that he that is such is perverted and committeth sin, as a self-condemned manual indeed, in almost every epistle, when enjoining on us the duty of avoiding false doctrines, he sharply condemns heresies. Of these, the practical effects are false doctrines, called in Greek heresies, a word used in the sense of that choice which a man makes when he either teaches them to others or takes up with them for himself. Overview. For this reason it is that he calls the heretic self-condemned, because he has himself chosen that for which he is condemned. In the original gospel teachings, it was considered a sin of the flesh, because schisms and divisions are the result of natural man clinging to ideas of a carnal nature. Overview. Mankind has free will, and as the prodigal sons who have each emerged out of the kingdom to travail in this world, which Jesus portrayed as the far country, each of the lost sons and daughters of the kingdom must return of their own volition and desire. That each has the innate power to return is in fact the very purpose and objective of the scriptures, that is, to be used as the key of knowledge when each individual desires to return to the Edenic kingdom of origination. That the leaders among the Jews had alienated themselves from the inner kingdom, and they attempted to observe the scriptures in outward ritual and tradition, is the very reason why Jesus condemned them as heretics who hid the key of knowledge from the people, and in their carnal interpretations they prevent others from entering. Because the carnal Jews were under the control of what Jesus portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son as the citizen of the far country, they remained blind to the inner kingdom and the true meaning of the scriptures, that is, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. And the fact that those who were the leaders of the people were blind to the kingdom and unable to spiritually hear and understand made it impossible to even begin to compose scriptures where the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom were more plainly presented to the reader. As Paul warned, if the people who were under the control of the citizen of the far country were to even be told about the mysteries of the kingdom, they would immediately reject these teachings as utter foolishness. See Mystery of the Gospel. And that this inability to present the esoteric truths of the gospel remains today is the reason why the modern congregation of Christian believers remain in subjugation to the citizen of the far country. Overview. Not to understand the meaning of the term in the house and to have thrown away the key of knowledge is to remain totally ignorant of the spiritual meaning of the Gospels and the teachings of the way. When the disciples asked Jesus why he taught the multitude of people in the enigma of parables wherein each person's interpretation and understanding was in accord with their own mindset and thinking, Jesus replied to his disciples, "Unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest haply they should turn again, and it should be forgiven them." Mark 4:11-12 SV. And the term, "lest haply they should turn again," is stated in reference to the kingdom that can only be found within, and the presence of the one teacher therein. What Jesus stated was of such a profound importance to comprehend if the seeker/disciple was to begin to understand the true meaning of the scriptures as set forth in the parable of the sower and the seed, that Jesus then warned, "And he saith unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how shall ye know all the parables?" Mark 4:13 ASV. And what this means is that if you fail to understand the meaning of the parable of the sower and the seed, and put its teachings into practice in your daily lives, that it will be impossible for you to understand any part of the spiritual meaning of the gospel teachings. And if you fail to understand the meaning of the term "in the house," and the difference in the reality of those who Jesus portrayed in the words, "But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand," that you will dwell in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being. See outer darkness. Walking upon what Jesus portrayed as the broad way of self-destruction. Matt 7:13-14. Overview. The leaders among the carnal Jews who interpreted the scriptures in outward ritual and tradition had thrown away the key of knowledge and, as such, had alienated themselves from the inner kingdom. And whereas Jesus portrayed them as blind guides who were leading the people in the wrong direction, when Jesus portrayed them as being without, that is, "But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables," this was a similar condition expressed in the spiritual reality that they existed either in what Jesus portrayed as the prison, or in the outer darkness of mind and being. See outer darkness. And because the leaders of the Jews expressed the scriptures in outward ritual and tradition, and failed to use them as the key of knowledge, was the reason why they were blind guides who could not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand. And this remains true of the congregation of Christians who continue to embrace the way of the carnal Jews today. Overview. The gospel accounts state that Jesus only spoke to the multitude of hearers in the enigma of parables. It is imperative that we recognize that Jesus did not, and could not, speak and teach plainly to those who are portrayed as being without the house, that is, and with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Mark 4:33-34 in KJV. The word translated "explained" in the phrase, "and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples," literally translated from the Greek into English, means to unloose or untie, that is, what has been bound or sealed up, and what is obscure and hard to understand, from Thayer's Greek lexicon. And the word translated "secret" or "mystery" makes reference to an esoteric knowledge that can only be revealed spiritually to one who is in the house, because it is beyond the organic comprehension of those who are portrayed as being without or outside the house. The term "open and unloose the mind" was also used in the gospel as the path to entering the inner kingdom. See "open and unloose the mind." With respect to the reality of those who are portrayed in the Gospels as being without, in contradistinction to those who are said to be in the house, the quotation of the early church Father Origen represents an excellent portrayal of the reality of mind and being that is presented in these words of Jesus wherein Origen writes in reply to the allegations of Celsus that the church is a secret system. See the secret doctrine. I have not yet spoken of the observances of all that is written in the gospel, each one of which contains much doctrine difficult to be understood, not merely by the multitude, but even by certain of the more intelligent, including a very profound explanation of the parables, which Jesus delivered to those without, while reserving the exhibition of their full meaning for those who have passed beyond the stage of exoteric teachings, and who came to him privately in the house. And when he comes to understand it, he will admire the reason why some are said to be without, and others in the house. Overview. So we must ask, by what means did the disciples receive this esoteric knowledge that was beyond the comprehension of organic man who was portrayed as being without, that is, gnosis? But what is gnosis, and how does a person receive this sacred knowledge of the kingdom directly from God? In a state of spiritual denial, the modern church attempts to ignore the implications of what these words convey. In fact, few Christians even understand what a parable is. Moreover, they can't even begin to come to terms with the reality of why one man perceives and comprehends a deeper meaning of a parable, while the multitude of hearers remain oblivious to what has been portrayed as a secret meaning that only a very few can receive. And while some would like to promote the idea that it is an illustration where a conceptual reality is simplified, just the opposite is factually true. Moreover, not only is the words portrayed a body of secret knowledge presented throughout the Gospels, but reference is openly made to the word mystery as used in Romans, that is, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, and in explanation of the above words of Jesus with respect to the use of parables as a means to teach the people. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary writes that the initiate was instructed in the esoteric teaching, which was not revealed to outsiders. The mystery of the kingdom in its ultimate development is the full orb message of the gospel. Rom 16:25-26. The purpose of parables was to instruct the initiates without revealing the items of instruction to the ones who were without. This is in keeping with the biblical principle that spiritual understanding is restricted to those who have become spiritual. If, as openly stated above, it is true that the disciples received instruction that was totally different than what was revealed to the multitude of people who Jesus portrayed as being outside, then a true seeker must conclude that every article of faith promoted by the church today would have to be totally reevaluated. Thus the question, what was Jesus stating with respect to why he spoke in parables? To ignore this question is to reject the whole foundational objective and revelation of the Bible.